How's everybody doing? Back live in the Goat District with my man Dan Williamson, as always, and joined by an honorary goat at this point, Cody Carpentier. How you doing, Cody?
I'm doing excellent, fellas. Just went from the Senior Bowl to the Super Bowl, trying to recover from this cold and get after it. I'm happy to talk some Senior Bowl with you guys.
We're going to get after it today, fellas.
District, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion, for the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex, send the homie a text. That trash offers the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's the and I always be traded, traded, traded. And I always be traded, traded, traded. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them, bait them, bait them, fish.
So we finally made it to Super Bowl week. This is like a holiday for anybody who loves football. The news keeps hitting all week long, and our guest today has boots in the ground down in Phoenix. How you doing today, Cody?
I'm doing excellent. Like you said, boots in the ground. We just went and picked up the credentials last night. Tonight is opening night of the Super Bowl. We got a couple shows coming this week. There's just like, I mean, they got us running around this whole town down here. It's like, you know, they couldn't possibly have both teams in hotels close to each other. It's like 37-minute drives from hotel to hotel, events in different buildings. It's chaotic down here, but I wouldn't have it any other way. But I appreciate you guys having me on today.
No, we're happy you could squeeze us in. We know you've been busy. You're grinding, man. It's awesome. You're putting out some tremendous content. Dan, how are you doing today?
Oh, doing great, man. Just really looking forward to hearing what Cody has to say about all the prospects he saw. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to some of that content you guys got coming up for Super Bowl week. Nice having those media credentials. I'm definitely jealous about that. So good move there.
And Dan, you were talking a little in the pre-show with Cody. There's like a kind of like a Debbie Downer segment of Twitter who just hates the Senior Bowl. I seem to remember Christian Watson being a weak winner for a good portion of the season. And I seem to recall Greg Dulcich being like a 65% fab guy for a lot of FFPC teams to get them through a few weeks from their tight end spot. So last year, you know, the Senior Bowl sure helped. And then you can go back, you know, multiple seasons. You know, we saw Michael Carter help people out two seasons ago. I feel like it's the haters really, it's a little funny. It's like people want to hate on anything. Cody, what's your take on this? How important is the Senior Bowl to you?
My take is exactly what you just said. The best name you brought up with Christian Watson from last year and how much of a league winner he was for a lot of people down the stretch if you could have grabbed him. And the people that you see on Twitter right now, some of them are like, you cannot count 3 days of practice for more than what you've already seen on film and on stats and stuff. It's like, well, there's not a lot of film on Michael Wilson. If you don't think Michael Wilson's good, if you looked at him, he's 5 years at Stanford and you're just a game log scout, and you say, well, year three and four, he didn't do a damn thing. And then year five, he had 600 yards or something like that. You can't say that 3 good days in Mobile is enough to elevate him. No, you really can, because that's kind of why you go down there. You go down there to find guys like that specifically, or guys like Jaden Reed, who dealt with a bevy of things in Michigan State, and then he comes out and he's the best wide receiver at the whole dang event. I mean, there's just multiple ways to look at it, multiple ways to skin a cat. And I think Christian Watson is the best example, because going in last year, they're like, who is this guy? Long, lanky, wide receiver of North Dakota State. And I remember last year specifically talking to him because he's from Tampa. I said, you know, do you ever watch like Mike Evans? Because you lived in Tampa. Is that somebody you kind of watch? No, I watched Julio Jones. And at the time, I mean, I didn't know anything about the guy. I knew that he was North Dakota State. I went to North Dakota, so I knew like the area. I knew who he was, but I did not know he was this type of athlete. He goes, no, I watched Julio Jones. And I was like, well, come on, man, you're not going to run a 4.4. And then what's he do? And then what's he do, right? And now, like, now he's in that conversation of, like, who is his best comparable on player profiler? It's, like, Mims, Moss, and freaking Julio Jones. And it's, like, that's where you go to find these guys. So, yeah, I think the guys on Twitter that – and you know what? It's the same way for everything, right? Oh, you can't go down there and take – yeah, but you weren't there. So that's kind of how I look at that, is most of the guys that are saying that Senior Bowl ain't worth the shit is the guys that aren't at the Senior Bowl.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, most of these guys are getting drafted. I mean, like 90% at least of the guys at the Senior Bowl seem to get drafted. It you know, so
that's the big thing is the reason that that's why Jim Nagy runs it so well is that those guys are only there because the NFL team said, like, hey, we're keeping an eye on this guy. We want to see this guy do more. And Nagy's so plugged in with everybody that he's not going to invite somebody down there that the NFL doesn't want to see. So the guys that aren't getting drafted from the event are the guys that had bad weeks or had bad interviews, et cetera, et cetera. But more than likely, the NFL teams already were very interested in some of these guys and just wanted to see more.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, I don't get to watch practice film. I don't know about you. I don't get to watch practice film on all these college players week after week after week. You know, so being able to see them practice against other NFL quality talents, you know, to say that has no meaning. That just doesn't really make any sense to me. You know, obviously, you know, you don't want to throw away, you know, 3 or 4 years of college stats and say, well, the Senior Bowl is all that matters. But it's just another, you know, it's another tool in your box, you know, another thing to you know, that you can look at and say, yeah, you know, this person is doing what I thought they were doing. Great. I can kind of check that box. Or, well, maybe I better pull back on another player that, you know, like Chase Brown. You know, a lot of people are pulling back on him. You know, so it you know, I don't know why you wouldn't let it have some value.
Yeah, you think about the vast portion of an NFL roster is not from these guys that are getting drafted on day one. It's important, you know, for us as NFL fans and also as fantasy fans to try to go as deep as possible. And that's whether that's a guy that can stick in your starting fantasy roster for the entire season, or a guy who, you know, you can get in at an extreme value, you know, in a rookie draft, like we saw last season with like an Isaiah Pacheco. Watson corrected, but Dulcich, people got, you know, nice and cheap. And I know there were some people on him based on his play in Mobile. So, you know, we could talk a lot about the importance of the game, but let's talk a little bit about the players here. Cody, would you say, and I know Matt Kelly was talking about Tyjae Spears as the big winner, would you look at Tyjae and agree that he is your big winner here?
I think there's multiple guys that are big winners. I think Tyjae belongs in that conversation. The reason, and I look at winners a little bit differently than like a lot of people. So when you scroll through Twitter, it's going to be like, you know, oh, this guy, Nathaniel Dell's a winner, all these, and Tyjae Spears, for example, too. But, I mean, if you're watching college football this year, Tyjae Spears was already a good running back, went for 205 and 4 touchdowns against USC. So people already kind of knew who that was. But Tyjae, yeah, I mean, as soon as Roschon Johnson from Texas got hurt day one, had a hand injury, finished practice, and then didn't come back on day two. As soon as Roschon was out of practice, Tyjae really vaulted himself into being the best running back on the field during both practices. He's got elite burst. He's got elite speed. Very interested to see what he does run. The question with him that was concerning down there was everyone was worried about his medicals. When you're talking to him and interviewing him, he's got pretty clear, like, you know, recovery surgical marks on his knee. It's like he had a pretty – that's the one thing that people are worried about is the medicals as far as the NFL people. I think he's more of a slender version of Nyheim Hines with more burst. I think that's a great area for him to move into. I think he bought himself a fourth-round draft pick, which is kind of where we saw Damian Pierce go last year. I don't think he's going to be able to get into that second, third round, but I think day three, the first, you know, 20 picks of day three, I think, is where Tyjae ends up. But, yeah, he definitely cemented himself for getting drafted and then moving up slowly throughout it.
Talk about Roschon. Based on that, I know he had the early buzz, got hurt, but we've had a number of guests in the district, Matt Hicks, John Lobb, you know, just gushing over his athleticism. What are your takeaway on Roschon?
Yeah, I mean, Roschon, I've been talking to Alex Dunlap about him for about 2 years. When we went down to the Senior Bowl last year, there was conversations at last year's Senior Bowl about Roschon Johnson, which should tell you enough. You could talk to Alex. Alex charts all these games for Orange Bloods down there in Texas, and he watches and communicates with Roschon on the weekly during the year. And he says that Roschon's the leader in the leader of the team. It's not Bijan. Obviously, they've had quarterbacks. It's like a revolving door down there at Texas the last few years. But Roschon's been the leader, the mainstay in this offense and this team. And that's what NFL teams like. And talking to his agent, talking to multiple people down there, including Alex and his sources, they all think that Roschon's going to get drafted much, much, much closer to Bijan than a lot of people are expecting as far as the NFL draft goes. Not only like rookie drafts, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but as far as what Roschon brings to the table, we couldn't really see it a lot in college because it was like, oh, it's Bijan, it's his team, he's the dude. And Roschon came in as a quarterback, and Roschon just does everything right. He comes in at 225 pounds. That first day I'm sitting there with Alex, and I'm like, man, this is Sean Alexander. Like, this is a big, bruising, very broad-shouldered, heavy downhill runner with elite acceleration and ability to just get in and out of cuts and catch the ball with ease. Like, Roschon, it seems very, like, hot. It's like, oh, you're coming out of the Senior Bowl with him high. I went into the Senior Bowl with him at RB7, so I think having him in the top five conversation is not hot. I think he belongs there. There's a bunch of tread on the tire, which is another thing that was talked about down there amongst scouts. And as far as running the 40, like, we asked his agent, you know, what's he going to run? Because we're expecting like mid 4.5s. And his agent just looks at us. He goes, fast. And if he comes in fast at all, like we're talking 4.49, 4.51 at 225 pounds with his abilities, I think you're talking about top five back in this class. And I don't think it's really a question.
Second round, Roschon?
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question. Like I said, the NFL teams a year ago were in. And it seems hot, right? It seems like, oh, bro, but you remember early 2000s, and I know where this is kind of a different whole situation, but Cadillac and Ronnie both went top five. And it's like, would it really be out of the question to say that, you know, Bijan goes 27 and Roschon goes 50? No, I don't think that's out of the question. I think, right, but I think people need to understand that that's actually that could happen. It's not like, oh, Roschon's going to go 104. Like, no, this is not that talent. This is not a fourth round. It's not a fourth round talent. This is not a late third round. This is a late second, early third, late worst case scenario situation for Roschon. He's 22 years old. And like I said, there's a bunch of tread on the tires. He's a great leader, the leader of this team. And NFL teams have loved him for a long time.
We saw Javonte Williams and Michael Carter go in the second and the fourth round. Yep. Early fourth, so that, you know, the precedent is there. That's super exciting. And Dan, it's nice to kind of be like ahead of the curve on Roschon, because Goat District listeners have been hearing about him for a couple weeks now. As soon as we started this, how about Evan Hull? Evan Hull seemed to have a week. Do you have any thoughts on him?
Evan Hull is one that I came in very low on. I didn't expect a ton. I actually kind of. Really, what I end up having to do with my rankings is literally swapping him and Chase Brown. Because I had Chase Brown a little bit higher, but I didn't have Chase Brown very high. I think I had him like RB 16 out of 25 coming in. And I had Hull down there at like 22. And I didn't really expect much out of either of these guys. Hull was one guy, though. Like I said, it was really – people talk about, you know, where do you have these guys ranked? Is Roschon higher than Tijah? Roschon was in his tier by himself. And then it was Tijah and Gray. And everybody else didn't start making waves until Roschon was off the field. Hull was one of those guys that started making waves once Roschon was out the field, as far as both practices go. And he looked good. He looked much better. I still don't trust that we're going to see anything in the low 4.5s as far as speed goes. And at 205 pounds, 210 pounds, whatever he comes in at the combine, we'll see. He's got great hands out of the backfield, much better in pass protection than Chase Brown, much better in pass protection than Eric Gray. I think that's going to go a long ways as far as the NFL goes. And he's got his head screwed on right. Obviously, he's a Northwestern kid, very smart kid when we interviewed him. it's funny to asking these guys, you know, who do you watch and who do you compare yourself to? It's always freaking Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. And he goes right to Christian McCaffrey. I was like, well, come on, at least say Austin Eckler, because you're kind of built like him. But I think Evan Hull's a winner from the week as far as rising up the ranks. I wouldn't quite put him as a winner as far as like he dominated the whole week, kind of like a Tijah or Roschon, but he definitely was a big riser throughout the process.
Payne Durham, tight end for Purdue.
Yes.
First of all, I'll say if Dan is the tight end whisperer, if you're going to like write a movie about a tight end, Payne Durham might be like the name of that guy. So it's a tremendous tight end name.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't get any better than that, really.
You got to have foresight as a parent to name your kid Payne as the first name. I mean, that's just awesome. Your thoughts on him, Cody?
Payne was great all week. So you saw the catch. I don't know if you watched the game or not on Saturday, but the catch that he had that almost went into the end zone, he made like three or four of those catches during the week. And one of them, you know, there was a couple times when the crowd really erupted. It was Tyjae Spears' route up the middle, which I think everybody saw when he rerouted, a Payne Durham touchdown in the right side of the end zone during practice, and then like a Michael Wilson deep fade down the right sideline. Payne Durham's catch was awesome. He went up between like three or four defenders during practice and just like above everybody else, snagged it, came down. He's got the build. The athleticism is my big question. I know you get a question later on who can really rise at the combine. He's one of them that if he does show that athleticism, because he's kind of stiff in the hips, kind of stiff in the lower body. I know Dan remembers Kyle Rudolph from being in Minnesota, where he kind of would always like catch it, go down right away. He didn't really get a lot of yak, and he just kind of stiffer in the lower half. That's kind of what Durham has, but he has the ability to really get up and get that ball, and he definitely was a riser at the tight end position this week.
Wide receiver wise, there's a lot of buzz about Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
But I also want to throw out a couple other wide receivers and just get your quick reaction. So talk about Reed, but also your thoughts on, you mentioned Tank Dell, Trey Palmer, and then Puka Nacua.
All right, so start out with Jaden Reed. He was clear-cut the best wide receiver on the field this week. It wasn't really close, I thought. Day two was his day. Day one was Roshan's day. Day two was Jaden Reed, where he really took over. He came in 185 pounds, kind of the same area you wanted him to be at. Alex comped him to Antonio Brown. I came in with a Percy Harvin light feel towards him. He has great punt return ability. He's a great wide receiver at Michigan State, and he's got a great elusiveness and lower body dexterity to get in and out of these breaks with ease. Plays much larger than he is. Strong hands, great awareness of his surroundings. Asked him who he watched the most of, which we kind of chuckled over this one, because I said, who do you watch the most of? And he says, Kadarius Toney. And I was like, me and Alex both looked at each other. You must be not watching very much film, because there's not a lot of film on Kadarius Toney out there. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah, I mean, Jaden Reed, clear-cut number one at the Senior Bowl this year. Coming in, I had him, Rashi Rice, Xavier Hutchinson, and Trey Palmer kind of all in the same tier. I wanted to see who was going to separate. Jaden Reed separated himself. You mentioned Trey Palmer. Palmer coming in, I think right now he's at the top of the marker for my dog rating. That's going to come out later in February. He had a good week. Didn't do anything special, didn't elevate himself, didn't hurt himself. We didn't really get to see the speed. The big reason behind that one, the quarterbacks were just so bad. We didn't get to see many balls go downfield much with accuracy. Quarterbacks were pushing the ball a little bit, but it was just like it was very, very porous quarterback play. I think Alex was like, this is the worst quarterback play since the year that they had Logan Thomas and I can remember there was like four dudes that are all, I mean, they never played a down in football in the NFL, but Palmer didn't rise nor fall, but he does have the speed. I think he's got the upside.
Is he he's a sub-4.3 guy, you think?
Yeah. We asked him what he's going to run. He said 4.2. And he was pretty adamant about that. When you look at, and you know, everyone says 4.2, I'm going to run 4.2, 4.3, but he actually has the 100 and 200 meter dash records in high school in Louisiana. The 200 meter record, I think, was like a 53 year record that he broke as well. So he's looking to be that fast. He went to LSU for 3 years, played with Chase, played with Jefferson, played with McMath, played with Marshall, and then obviously transferred to Nebraska. And he was a speed threat. He also had a 4.00 shuttle coming out of high school too. So he's a guy, this kind of goes with your question later, who can really rise at the combine. He didn't really get to put that speed on display this week. He made a couple nice plays, ran some strong routes. He is a body catcher though, consistently, which is not the best, not what you want from a wide receiver, but the speed I think is really what we need to see at the combine. I'm looking forward to that.
Should we have a rule in football that if your nickname is Tank, you have to be 225 plus, or are we going to allow Tank Dell to keep the Tank nickname? Cause it's very confusing.
I don't know, man. There's such a weird story. It's like they called him Nathaniel and he hates the word Nathaniel, and it's like, it makes sense. But yeah, Tank Dell,
He's definitely built like not Nathaniel makes sense. Like
he's more of a Tonka tank than a tank.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's more. Yeah, exactly. Nathaniel does make sense. And he's a little guy, and he's going to be a very interesting one. The my biggest takeaway with him is it's all there. You watch the film. It's there. You watch practice. It's the same exact thing. So there really wasn't much to learn from him. I know he got a lot of buzz on social media, but it's the same. It was the same thing all week at practice as it was in the film. He skates by everybody. He's clean in and out of breaks. He's got the speed to literally make everybody look stupid on the field. The problem is he's going to be 162, 163 pounds. So he's literally, quite literally, if you look at the player pages, they're going to be identical. He's literally either Marquise Hollywood Brown or nothing. And nothing is going to be Kevontae Turpin without the returnability because he's just not big enough to quite return kicks. And I don't know if he's got that in his repertoire. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's either Hollywood Brown or nothing. And I just kind of want to see the draft capital. You know, if he's early second, I'll be interested. Depends where he goes. I just don't see that happening. But, yeah, I mean, you can't 1,300 yards back-to-back seasons at Houston. That is an air raid offense, of course. But Dell's a tough one. I don't think I have him right now. As far as the rankings go, I have him wide receiver 15. So it's like I a lot of people are going to have him top 10 because of, you know, the speed, what he did this week. I just, especially for fantasy, it's just not a guy I'm probably going to have unless it's like apparent draft capital where he's like 27th overall in the whole entire NFL draft. I just don't see that happening, though.
We had John Lobb in the district, and one wide receiver he's intrigued with is Puka Nacua, who was the Washington transfer to BYU. Interesting story. Your thoughts on him?
Puka did good. Puka had a good day one. Good day one. It was not special. It was good. He didn't do much wrong. Made a lot of nice catches. Just had a good day of practice. But, again, it didn't pop. And he left after day one. And this is exactly what happened a year ago with one Alec Pierce. And where did Alec Pierce go? Round two. We see this often where guys will have great practices and then they'll leave. And that's because the agents tell them, hey, man, you've done enough. You pull up, get out of practice. Like Jahan Dotson didn't go last year, right? He was invited and he was going to go 2 days before the event happened. Agents were like, hey, man, it's a lose-lose situation for you to go down to the Senior Bowl. Come on, let's go. Because we know you're going round one. That's kind of what I got to feel the Puka Nacua situation after a good day one of practice. I don't love Puka Nacua, but I think he's going to be a good pro. Do I think he probably should have stayed a little bit longer at practice? Yes. I think he had a little more to show to everybody. I think he's great at the intermediate line of scrimmage area level. That's kind of where he's targeted the most. They used him out of the backfield. I think he had 39 carries the last two seasons. Very versatile guy, athletic. He was on the plane ride with Alex from Houston. He was riding with Jake Haner from Fresno State. And Alex said the entire flight from Houston to Mobile, they were doing flashcards back and forth, learning the playbook. So, I mean, that's just – you want to see stuff like that, especially off the field. That's kind of things you don't really hear about usually. And that's, you know, they're not teammates. They're just dudes that are on going to the same event, practicing together. So I think Puka is going to be a guy – not, I mean, the name is the name, right? It's a cool name. But yeah. As far as on the field goes, wasn't special to Senior Bowl. He doesn't really pop off in the film, but he's gonna get second or third round draft capital. I think that's about guaranteed right now.
Dan, is there anybody that we didn't cover that you had interest in from the Senior Bowl?
Well, we kind of briefly hit Chase Brown, Eric Gray. Neither one of them did really well in pass pro, obviously, but you know, you could also say fantasy-wise, I mean, you know, there's a certain point where you say, who cares how they do in pass pro because they're not rushing the ball and they're not receiving the ball if they're in pass pro. So, you know, maybe we don't care about that as much. But what did you see other than the pass pro from those guys?
Eric Gray's excellent. The literal only mark that I had on Eric Gray was the pass pro. As far as everything else, as far as running the ball, he finishes every single run no matter what it is. A lot of these guys, you know, they might drop a ball at practice. And this is a few of the little things that, like, I pay attention to. It's like you drop the ball. Do you just let the ball lay there? You go grab the ball, finish your run, and finish up the field. And, like, Gray does everything right, like I said, except for the pass pro where he got kind of run over a few times. As far as the receiving game goes, it's very Kamara-esque. His contact balance is Kamara-esque, where that first tackle is rarely going to take him down, especially in space. He usually just bounces off them. And that's the easy one you can always think of. Is like Saquon's kind of like that, but Kamara's really the one where even if he takes a hit in the quad, in the shin, he seems to just pop off. And even if he bounces back, he still stays up, and then he makes a move. Eric Gray is going to be a guy that a lot of the Devy guys know who he is from back in his Tennessee days, but he's going to be a guy that, that kind of rises up through this, I think. I think he's 23 and a half right now. The Trey Mason Dixon line, I think, is 207 pounds. He came in at, think, or 205. He came in at 207, so he's above that line. Martijah's right below that line. I comped him to a Devonta Freeman. I think you're going to get a couple good big seasons out of him. I don't know if you're ever going to get a 240, 250 touch season out of Eric Gray. That kind of goes in with the pass blocking, right? They're not going to trust him on some of those downs where he's got to be in there to block. But as far as the pass catching goes, that's going to kind of equate. You mentioned that, Dan, where, yeah, if he's pass blocking, he's not going to be helping you. But on those downs that he should be pass blocking, he's also going to be able to, you know, as long as he can give the guy a nudge and then get out on a loop, you're going to get a target, and that's a reception. That's PPR. That's what you want as far as fantasy goes. So Eric Gray, I loved him coming in. I had him at RB4 overall coming in to the event, which is way higher than I expected with my preliminary grades. And I think he's going to end up coming down a little bit, but I still am impressed with Eric Gray. The other one, who'd you bring up? Chase Brown?
Yeah, Chase Brown.
Chase Brown, again, I had him, I think, RB16 coming in. The film is good. The film is good on Chase Brown. He struggled mightily all week. Day one and day two were pretty brutal. I think the best thing about Chase Brown is Sidney Brown, his brother. His twin brother was at the event. And his twin brother, when they stand side by side, his twin brother, I think, got like, I don't know what the testosterone levels are, but I think he got like 500 more natural milligrams of testosterone in his body than Chase did at birth, because he's pretty yoked. He's got the build of a stud, and he plays safety. But Chase looks good. I think he's going to be a good NFL running back, good in quotes, DeAndre Washington-esque. He's going to have some opportunities. We saw him go for 1,600 at Illinois. I know you're up in Big Ten country. You've seen him often. If you can get him in open field, his jets are similar to what, you know, some of these guys in the NFL have right now. He's got good feet and acceleration and agility. When he's game planned for and game planned around, he can excel. But as far as pass catching goes, I don't love it. As far as pass blocking goes, I don't love it. Too many carries result in you know, -3, -2, -1 yards. I think Brown's going to be a late round guy, like a 6th, 7th round draft pick.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering about, because I know, I mean, he was a huge part of the Illinois offense, like about over 50%. Yeah. So, guys like that always just kind of attract my attention, because it's like, well, you know, man, if he can handle that much of a Big Ten offense, that's definitely saying something.
That's where I was too. I came in and I try not to watch an abundance of these guys during the season. I want to hit it all at the same time so I can get a good crop of it all. And I was like, I'm going to have Chase Brown top 5, top 6 in this class. And I thought Eric Gray wasn't even going to be in the conversation. And Eric Gray ended up being the guy that was way up there. Chase Brown ended up being the guy that was way down. And I was like, but that's why you go through the whole process. And you kind of dig deep into these guys from every angle. Both guys surprised me just in opposite directions.
Now, if you guys enjoyed listening to Cody talking about the Senior Bowl prospects, the thing about a lot of our guests during this time of year is, you know, we're fantasy content related. So we're thinking about the big four fantasy positions. But Cody can talk about literally any position in the draft. And I think that's one of the most impressive things you do, Cody, is last year, how many of the first rounders did you nail? You were pretty high up there in terms of prediction. You only had a couple you missed on your first round projection, I believe, correct?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number as far as the total prospects. I think I got like 7 or 8 of the picks right in the NFL mock. I don't remember the exact number on the prospects, though, however.
Yeah, no, you did. You do great with it. And I think you have an idea of what's going to happen with the market. So, you know, we're a little bit off from the NFL draft. The combine starts at the end of the month. I believe it's February 28th is the first day of the combine. So if the NFL draft was going on today, how's that top five shaking out for you, starting at the top with Chicago?
Yeah, this is a very interesting one, obviously, because it's pretty apparent to everybody that the Bears don't need a quarterback. You know, even if they want to try and be like, hey, we're going to take a quarterback. No, you're not. I think they're going to end up trading this pick. Who are they going to trade it to is kind of a big question. My last mock that I did, just a week and a half ago. I had the Colts coming up to number one. I think Will Levis fits this mold the best because of what Chris Ballard's looking for. Is he the most pro-ready? No, that's probably C.J. Stroud, I think, right now at this point. But C.J. Stroud doesn't really have much in the legs. And as far as the build goes, C.J. Stroud's going to come in lean. He's going to come in 212, 215, which is something that at the quarterback position, you know, you want to have a guy that's a little bit bigger. We've seen this from the Colts when they go out Wentz. Wentz is in the 230s. Ryan's 220-plus. Andrew Luck was 230-plus. You know, Levis fits that body type much better. And Ballard kind of – this was a couple years ago that this came out, but he has a threshold at the positions, and his threshold at quarterback was 6'3 and around 210 pounds. And while Stroud does fit that, I think Levis exposes more upside. He can do it with the legs. He's got a much bigger arm when you compare it to guys like Josh Allen, guys like Mahomes, et cetera, like that. So I had Levis going number one. I got Bryce Young going two to the Texans, which I think that's been kind of conversation for a while now, even when the Texans had the number one pick. Three, Will Anderson going to the Arizona Cardinals. They lost J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones. That obviously hurt what they did in the last couple of years. Only adds the lengthy need for pass rushing in Arizona. They get the clear best in the class. Will Anderson's a guy that was often talked about as the number one overall pick, but I think in this day and age, the quarterback is such a big need for so many teams. I think it ended up pushing Will Anderson down. Then you have the Bears at four. They trade back from one. Jalen Carter, who I think is arguably the best player in this draft, Jalen Carter from Georgia. You know, this is their guy. I think this is their guy. I think it will be their guy all along. And if they can stay in the top five, I think Jalen Carter ends up being that guy. Everyone remembers last year when Jordan Davis came out of Georgia. Jalen Carter's better than Jordan Davis. Remember, he went top 20 to the top, I think went 13th overall to the Eagles. Carter's much better than Jordan Davis, much bigger motor. And then number five, I had Tyree Wilson going to Seattle. He's a big, big edge from Texas Tech. Shout out to Russell Wilson for rebuilding the Seahawks defense over the last couple of years and before the next couple of years. I think they're just going to continue to build on this defensive line, and that's where I think Seattle goes with the fifth pick.
Not on the show sheet, but one thing that we've been trying to figure out is the actual draft capital for Bijan Robinson. Where do you think, like, if you're looking at this first round, can we get crazy? Is it like Atlanta at number eight? What are we talking about here with Bijan? If you're looking at this first round order, anything jump out at you as a possible landing spot?
You want to get crazy here, don't you?
I want to get nuts.
No, I mean, I obviously don't hate that. I would love to see. I'm all about that. I'm all about, you know, blowing these things up and seeing some crazy things happen. I loved back in the day when all these running backs were going early. But from a team building standpoint, I think the NFL's moved on to the point where they understand. Also, like, I know a question you have soon here is the strength of this class. The running back position is the strength of this class through, you know, from the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end positions, I should say. And there's a lot of depth at the running back position. And I don't think, you know, I love Bijan. I think Bijan's a fantastic prospect. I think he's one of the best prospects we're going to see, we have seen. But I had this conversation with multiple people the last couple of days. I don't think he's on the Saquon. I don't think he's not on the Saquon level. He's not on the Adrian Peterson level. He's not going to run 4.40. No matter if people think he's fast or not, he's not going to run 4.40. He might be running 4.51, 4.52. You can't be upset about that. He's a great running back. As far as where I expect him to go, I think the door really opens up when you get down into the 20s and you're looking at Alexander Mattison's gone from the Vikings, and Dalvin Cook is a potential cap casualty or trade casualty. Baltimore, they've had their situations over the last few years. The Chargers have been trying to fill in that RB2 spot next to Austin Eckler, who's aging. And that's really, I think, where the conversation starts. And then, obviously, what do the Giants do with Saquon? Do they bring him back? Do they not? 26. And Cowboys. Zeke's gone. I mean, I'm sorry to break the news. I don't know if I'm whatever. But, I mean, there were some people down in Mobile that I can't tell who they were. But they don't really care. It wouldn't surprise them if they took Bijan. And he's pretty confident that Zeke's not going to be back. And, obviously, Tony P is, I think, going to be 26, 27 this year. They could use a running back, buff. I mean, that whole 20s. I just went through, like, all the 20s right there. That's really probably where he ends up going, is somewhere in the 20s right there, is what I would say.
I think that makes a lot of sense. But I got to say, though, if Bijan does end up in Atlanta, we got to give full credit to Theo, because he will be the one who spoke it into existence. he's been working on that for a while. So
I'd also like to clarify that Cody's source, he won't say it out loud, but it's Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Just, hey, just shh.
Just hey. Saying, just saying. Hey. Let's backtrack, because one guy who I will say is polarizing is Will Levis. If you talk to, if we found, let's say we have 10 guys that we respect their opinions, like yourself, there's going to be a few of them who do not like Will Levis, and definitely do not like him at the level of CJ Stroud, Bryce Young. You've been a proponent for Will Levis. He has an absolute cannon. Maybe talk a little bit about why you're someone. You've already mentioned the size, but is there anything else that really stands out to you, kind of intangibles, anything that kind of elevates him for you above these other guys?
I mean, you immediately go to, and everyone goes right to Stroud and Young, right? And your immediate response could be, well, the weapons around him were entirely worse. Okay, yes, fine, whatever. But the incompetent offensive line that Levis had to deal with over the last couple of years, he does hold on to the ball a little bit too long. That's kind of where the completion percentage can really take a significant drop for Levis, is when he does hold on to the ball too long. But when you're at a Kentucky school playing against Bama, Georgia, Tennessee, week in and week out, you're trying to make plays, you're trying to win games. He has played for two former NFL coordinators throughout his process, understands a pro-style offense very well. We haven't even talked about his ability to move on the ground, his tenacious accountability, leadership in terms of praise for his teammates and touting the work. They tout his work ethic through the process. When I think you're talking about the tier one of prospects at quarterback, I don't think that this might be hot too. I don't think that Stroud and Young deserve to be in that top conversation as far as what we know and where the NFL is going at the quarterback position. Levis and Richardson should be the conversation. It shouldn't be Young coming in at 6 foot, 190 pounds, or, you know, if he does come in at 201 because he's been eating peanut butter and protein shakes for the last 2 months.
5'10", 201.
Yeah, he's going to be whatever, man. I don't even – but and then Stroud can't run. He's got a good arm. I don't think it's strong. I think he's Teddy Bridgewater-esque. I don't think the conversation's there with those two guys. I think it's Richardson and Levis. You're talking about the day and age of the NFL with Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. What do they all have in common? Big arms, and they all can move on the ground. And what did Richardson do, and what's Levis do? Levis is going to come to the NFL and have a top five arm from the get-go in the NFL, and that's not even a question. Yes, can you reel him in? Yes, can you teach him a couple things? Yes, I think you can. Obviously, like I said, he's had two NFL coordinators as his coaches the last couple seasons. Richardson, on the other hand, same kind of conversation. Sometimes he can hit the broadside of a barn. Sometimes he's a great 67 yards downfield on a dime. Both of these guys are really where the conversation should start. I've talked about Levis, you know, on end for the last, I don't know, 8 months. I really don't think it's a conversation, but that's here nor there. There's plays you can see of him against Florida where no crow hop, he's standing still in the pocket, 64 yards on a dime in the end zone, and that's just like with the flick of a wrist. He's not even, you know, rearing up like we see Aaron Rodgers do and taking three crow hops into it. He's just got that strong of an arm, and you see too much through the process of him, I think, growing. But yeah, I don't think it's really a question for me, to be honest, with Heaven Levis at number one as far as the NFL goes.
So let me ask you a couple questions then on the quarterbacks. Levis, you don't think he's falling farther than Indy, even if Indy doesn't move up? You know, basically that's like his floor where he's going.
Floor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, floor, I'd say probably ends up at like six to Detroit. Maybe it'd be a floor. Now, obviously, Carolina. I think Carolina, we talked to a source around Carolina. They think Carolina's going to move up for quarterback as well. So six for Detroit, but I think there's also some teams that can move in front of Detroit as well.
How about Anthony Richardson? What do you think is his realistic floor in this draft?
I mean, he's dynamite. I think as far as floor goes, you're looking at that 19 spot for Tampa. That's where I put him in my last mock, was 19 to Tampa. I don't think they let a guy like that fall that far. Remember Lamar dropped to 32 to Baltimore. They had to get him in that first round just to get that fifth-year option. And he's some mixture of Lamar, Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton. He's like a mixture of all these guys. The arm talent is that of Kaepernick. The size is Cam Newton, and the rushing ability is close to of what Lamar is, and it's almost scary, to be honest with you. And as far as fantasy goes, this is the guy that, like I said, the NFL, Levis is going to be my number one. I think in fantasy, by the time it's all shook out, I think Richardson's going to end up being QB1. As far as fantasy goes, just because of the legs. Like, we saw it from Justin Fields this year. If he would have played the whole season, he breaks the rushing record. that this is the next guy in line that I think can do that. And like I said a minute ago, sometimes he can't hit the broadside of a barn, but sometimes he's got the arm talent of Will Levis where it's 67 yards downfield on a dime. And, you know, if you can get that connection with some of these guys, you're going to see it very often at the NFL level. And, I mean, you put, you know, draft capital, you put him at 19. I think he gets drafted higher than 19. But think about putting him in Tampa with a Godwin, with an Otten, and with a Mike Evans, with a Rashad White in the backfield. Like, that's pretty good weapons for a quarterback like Anthony Richardson.
Is he your QB2 right now?
Yeah. I don't have my grades done, but as far as the NFL goes, I think – NFL-wise, Levis, Stroud, and then Richardson is probably where I'm going to be.
So you don't see Richardson as being a guy that, you know, like they would redshirt for a year after drafting him or anything like that. He's coming out and playing.
I think they should, but I think we've just moved on so much past that. I think as far as like these first-round guys, there's just no patience in the NFL. We've seen it year in and year out the last probably 4 years where, I mean, Jordan Love feels like the last guy that really was forced into that redshirt situation. And – especially a guy like Richardson where he's got the legs. Like, the NFL is going to force him out there and make him learn. And do I think he needs it 100%? I don't think he should have came out this year. I think he should have went back. But we're talking about reality. He's coming out. He's going to get drafted in the first round. He's going to be fantasy relevant year one. Like you said, 100% am in agreement with you, Dan, that I think he should be redshirted. I think he should have went back to school. But, it's, you know. Reality is what it is. I guess. Yeah, it is what it is.
All right, sounds good. Is there any other quarterback from this class that you're high on that you think could turn into an NFL starter?
Not really. Dorian Thompson-Robinson interested me until he went to the Shrine Bowl and came in like the 180s. Dyson Bagent was at the Senior Bowl, 6'3", 212. His dad's a 27-time arm wrestling champion.
The dad is, if anybody hasn't seen the dad, the guy is like Hulk Hogan of arm wrestling. The swag is incredible.
They used to have that show on ESPN, WAL. If you've never watched it, go back, type it into YouTube. Travis Bagent, absolutely anarchy. This is Tyson's dad. So Tyson's got the arm talent. Most touchdown passes all time in college football, no matter the level. 17,000 passing yards at Shepherd in West Virginia. He's got the arm talent. You know, he's very errant, but he's the guy that is going to get drafted probably round late three. You know, round four is really where you're going to start looking for a Bajan to get drafted, I think. And that's the guy that you're going to let him sit for probably 2 years. And then all of a sudden you're going to be like, we got a quarterback on our hands, and it's going to be him. That's the only guy that I'm really eyeing as far as the rest of the draft goes.
There are so many teams that tried to get Bagent as a transfer to leave Shepherd, and there was multiple high level football teams that wanted him last year, and he stuck with it at Shepherd. I think it's just awesome. I'm definitely rooting for him. It's an awesome story, especially when you factor in his dad being like this arm wrestling maniac. It's just awesome. Wanted to pivot over to the running back position. Okay, we won't waste any time on Bijan. He's the RB1 in this class. How do you rank the rest of these RBs? What are the next few guys for you that you're looking at? Take it as deep as you want, Cody, because I know your rankings are still developing.
Yeah, they're still developing. As far as fantasy goes, right now I'm coming in with Jameer at number two. The PPR thing is going to be pretty apparent. I do think the Alvin Kamara comps are a bit aggressive that I've been seeing on Twitter and from some people, because – Gibbs isn't that build, right? He's 200 pounds, 205 pounds. He's much, much closer to a James Cook. And I think that's a very good comp/situation for Jahmyr Gibbs. One of the best pass catchers with and without the ball, one of the best pass blockers. Seen him multiple times on film move from like left, lined up left in shotgun, move all the way around right, pick up an edge defender, a blitzer on the opposite side. A lot of guys can't even pick up the guy on their own side, let alone get to the other side and pick up a guy. Very impressive as far as that goes. I think he has everything. Lower body athleticism is pure. He lines up as a running back, but he looks like a wide receiver when he's back there. It's just very efficient, nonchalant about everything. It's very easy for him. I think I have him number two. Then I think the conversation really opens up next with a couple of these big bruisers. Kendre Miller from TCU, I think he had a touchdown every single game this year. Roschon Johnson, I talked about him a minute ago. And then Zach Charbonneau from UCLA. I know you like him. Have him. All three of these guys right there, 3, 4, 5. I really want to see who elevates, who separates themselves kind of at the combine, see who runs the 4.6, see who runs the 4.4. And all three of these guys are really impressive to me. All three pretty competent at receiving the ball. Zach Charbonneau probably the best out of the three. But I just – something with Charbonneau really worries me is that last year he should have came out and he would have been a top five back, and he went back. And it's kind of the reverse of what we heard from Roschon, where everyone's like, the NFL loves Roschon, and it's pretty apparent. But if everybody loved Zach – Zach would have came out last year because he could have came out. Remember, he did declare and then he went back. So that's really what I'm worried about with Charbonneau. So that's my 3, 4, 5. And then after that, you start talking about the Devy guys, the Zach Evans, Tank Bigsby, Eric Gray, Zach Evans from Ole Miss, transferred from TCU. And that's where Kendre kind of got the door opened up for him. Zach Evans, I think, aligns more into the Alvin Kamara situation as far as a comp goes. As far as I like to go down to that Ole Miss pro day. I think Alex is going to go over there, but he said growing up, Zach Evans was just kind of an odd ball. Very talented, super talented, probably the most talented in this running back class other than Bijan. But it's really just about if he can keep his head in the game, keep interested in the game, and kind of just elevate himself. Tank Bigsby, I don't know what the problem is with him, right? It's been 3 years at Auburn, and it's like 800, 900, 1,000 yards, consistency. Auburn hasn't been good, but Tank Bigsby has been. It's just been playing with very incompetent teams. He's one that I'm going to probably end up with a lot of him in rookie drafts. And then Eric Gray, we talked about before, and Tyjae Spears, 8-9. That's kind of where I end up out of that top 10.
Dan, any other running backs you want to pick Cody's brain on?
How about Sean Tucker? He's a guy who's getting a little bit of buzz.
Yeah, I made a list of 12. I just said 9 names. He was one of the ones I didn't say. Okay. I left the door open for you. Sean Tucker, I like Sean. I think he's one of the best pass catchers. It was very interesting to me to see at his build where he comes in slighter, 5'9", 5'10". He's going to be to about 205. Plays bigger, plays much bigger, but he also plays downfield a lot. And they had a lot of plays designed for him 30, 40 yards downfield where they threw the ball to him, which I thought was very interesting because they trust him downfield. As far as a rusher goes, very in line, very straight line rusher. the depth of this class, I think, is really what we're getting down to right now. You're talking about Sean Tucker, where I have him at 12 right now, and I feel really not good about that because I feel like he should be higher. But I think the depth of this class, like I said, is just it's very, very strong. Great lower body strength, great lower body build. Listed at about 210, plays more around 200. You're talking about the Austin Eckler type. He doesn't have quite the elusiveness and the agility that Austin Eckler does, but I think as far as trusting him to be your, you know, fourth round guy in the NFL draft, I think he's going to be a guy that lines up right there.
Shout out to Darren Armani, Fantasy Mojo. If you're in a draft with him right now, he's taking Sean Tucker. So that's like a really tell. I did 2 best balls with him, 1 FFPC, 1 FFWC, and Sean Tucker goes out of my queue, and Darren takes him. So hat tip to Fantasy Mojo. We had a question. Dan and I are in a chat, and one person wanted us to ask you about Sir Roderick Thompson, deep name, Texas Tech. Any thoughts on him?
Sir Roderick, man, I mean, I remember making his player page like 3 years ago on playerprofiler.com because it was expected that he might have come out. And he played in the NFLPA, and then he came over to the Senior Bowl during the middle of the week after Roschon. So when a guy gets hurt, so like Roschon got hurt day one of the Senior Bowl, they always call somebody up from the NFLPA Bowl, and Sir Roderick was that guy. And he came over, and he was very, very strong. He didn't make any mistakes, kind of like Trey Tucker at the wide receiver position, from Cincinnati. Didn't make any mistakes all week, kind of missed your consistency. While Sir Roderick was on the field, missed your consistency. About that 215-pound range, runs pretty hard, built strong. He's not going to be an overpowering guy, right? He's not jacked up like Roschon. He's not jacked up like Sidney Brown or anything like this, but he's a very good back. Profile is kind of like, I'd say, like a Ramondre Stevenson. Had over 500 yards rushing each of the last 4 years at Texas Tech. I don't think there's anything wrong with the profile, multiple 20-plus reception seasons at Texas Tech. But it was a nice one to see him come over because last year There was an injury, and TJ Pledger from Utah came over, and it was just like deflating because there was really nothing there. So Roderick actually brought some pop to the team and was a strong runner.
We're hitting at almost 50 minutes here, so I want to quickly get to Cody's wide receivers. We've had a ton of success from the last few classes. How do you see this class as a whole? And give us a few of the names you have at the top.
Yeah, I don't think the class is quite on par with that of the last few seasons. Obviously, it's going to be a pretty tough thing to do in general because of kind of what the last two classes have had with Ja'Marr Chase, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, et cetera, Drake London. But I think when it's all said and done, you're going to have a lot of good wide receivers. JSN, as far as fantasy goes, I think is going to end up being that top guy. We're just talking PPR here, man. He's going to be a PPR machine. As far as the NFL goes, I think JSN fits in most offenses as a strong slot receiver, Keenan Allen-esque type. There's been some rumors of him not even being a top 20 pick. Speed probably won't be there, but I don't think, in prior years, remember Keenan Allen, he was a mid-third round pick when he went to the Chargers. And I think I comp this class to that of, I can't remember what year it was, 2016, I think. And you look back at 2016, there was a couple guys that went Corey Coleman, Will Fuller, Laquan Treadwell, and then this guy, from Ohio State that was pretty good, went 47th overall. I think his name was Michael Thomas. And just kind of overlook guys maybe you shouldn't overlook. And I think Jason's going to be a guy that gets pushed down for no reason. And other than, he didn't play much this year, but I think he's the number one guy as far as fantasy goes. Quentin Johnston out of Texas, Texas Christian, TCU. Super athlete. If he comes in at 6'3", 195 pounds, very light on the light end. I wanted to see him a lot bigger, but obviously 195 is what it is. If he does run what they're rumored to be a 4.40, 4.42, something in that range with a 40-inch vertical, I think you're going to see him skyrocket up mocks, up the NFL draft. I mocked him number 9 overall to Carolina in my last mock because I think that people need to come to the realization that he likely is the first wide receiver drafted in the NFL because of that athleticism, because of that size. When you go down the list of receivers in this class, from JSN, Jordan Addison, Josh Downs, Zay Flowers, Jaden Reed, Kayshon Boutte, not one of those guys is over 6 foot tall. It's 6 foot, 5'11", 5'10". Quentin Johnston is 6 foot three. He's going to be 195, 200 pounds. He's going to be a super athlete. We've seen year after year after year these guys run 4.2s and 4.3s and get elevated in the NFL draft. And you're going to see that with Quentin again if he does hit that marker. Now, if he runs 4.52 and he only jumps 32 inches, obviously he's not going to be drafted that high. But as far as looking for a prototypical X in this draft, Quentin's really the top of the marker for that position. So I think he comes in right up there in that conversation. Then I know you love Jordan Addison as much as I do. If he was about 15 pounds heavier, he would be my hands down number one wide receiver in this class in every facet. Jordan Addison is going to come in about 170 to 175 pounds, played at Pittsburgh, was prolific, 1,500 yards with Kenny Pickett in 2021. And then 2022, he picks up, moves across the country, goes to USC, dominates again with Caleb Williams. I think he's about as good a wide receiver, good as wide receiver as you're going to get top to bottom other than size.
And then those three seem to be shaking out as I would say the consensus top three at this point. Yeah. Do you have a wide receiver four right now? I know that Boutte is super interesting, because he's got a lot of interesting things off the field, LSU pedigree. You mentioned Josh Downs, Zay Flowers. Is there a guy that stands out to you, or are you still kind of unclear of your wide receiver four?
One of my big goals at the Senior Bowl and even this week is to find out more about Kayshon and kind of what the off-field situation and how the NFL feels about him, because he, for me, would be right up there in that conversation. 2 months ago, before the off-field questions came up, he was my number one wide receiver, and the NFL seems to now kind of buried him. Brugler didn't have him in his top 64. I think he still belongs in the top 64, even if the off-field stuff is what it is. Boutte is that good of a receiver. I put him number 7 right now with Flowers, Zay Flowers, Josh Downs, and Jaden Reed just ahead of him because of their consistency through the process. Downs, having a year ahead of Flowers. Flowers dominating at the Shrine Bowl, looking excellent. Jaden Reed dominating the Senior Bowl and looking excellent, staying up there. I think those guys deserve to be moved ahead of him at this current time. But if there's anything that gets adjusted with this Boutte thing, or if he's cleared of any wrongdoings or anything like that, I think you're going to see Boutte jump into that tier one with JSN, Quinton, and Jordan Addison.
Dan, any wide receivers you want to touch on before we move on?
How about Jalen Hyatt, Zay Flowers? Where did you say you had them at?
Just so Zay Flowers, I have five right now, just behind Josh Downs at four. Hyatt, I'm a little lower on him. I'd like to see, you know, I don't really know. I don't really know what to do with Hyatt because he's the easy comp obviously is like a Will Fuller. I kind of thought of a Day-Day Westbrook, something like this. Both those guys actually won the Biletnikoff. 175 pounds is just so tough because he's built almost identical to Devonta Smith, but he just doesn't have the route running, I don't think, as Devonta Smith does. I hate to call him a one-trick pony because, you know, he won the Biletnikoff as the best receiver in college football, and you got to respect what he did all year. Very slender lower half, not a big yak wide receiver, but he's lightning in a freaking bottle. And if he does run a 4.26, 4.27, you have to respect that. But at the current time, I have him about wide receiver nine. I just don't trust his mold in the NFL as far as fantasy goes. Like, it's either he has to be Will Fuller, a healthy Will Fuller. Remember how dynamic he was with those multiple 40, 50-point outputs. Like, he has to be that level, in my opinion, to really be fantasy relevant. So that's why he's a little bit lower than you may see from some other people.
Okay. Quickly moving on to the tight end spot, Michael Mayer is going to be a top 20 pick in the NFL draft, it looks like. How excited are you about him as a prospect? And then who would be your tight end two?
Yeah, Mayer's clear cut. Mayer's clear cut, the number one tight end, I think, in this class. I was actually like I mentioned earlier with Chase Brown, Evan Hull, or Chase Brown and some of these other guys, where I came in with an expectation and then thought maybe I'd come out with a different response. I came in with the expectation that nobody's going to touch Mayer. But I was like trying in my mind to be like, God, can Musgrave come close? Can Darnell Washington? Nobody can come close to Mayer. It was so tough to even be like, okay, what does he do that this other guy can't? Mayer just does everything better. I remember Hunter Henry as a prospect being he could just do everything. Yeah, he wasn't fast, but he could just do everything. Good in the run game, great in the red zone, dominant, break tackles, maybe not the best in yak, but overall the tight end, just strong, strong player. Darnell Washington interests me. He's going to be a little bit further down. He's a hyper athlete. I did want to push this in there. I'll talk about Musgrave here in a second, but Darnell Washington, going into the Senior Bowl, had kind of up in that top four. And a lot of people down there at the Senior Bowl believe that the NFL is going to try and push him into a more of a tackle role, which is kind of nuts to me.
Disgusting, though, for fantasy.
It's disgusting. But there's thought that he's going to be 260, 265, and I'm like, all right, if he's 260, 265, what you're seeing on tape, there's no reason that he isn't as athletic and probably more than Jordan Davis was last year when he ran that 4.7 at 300 and whatever the hell he was. Darnell is that athletic, and there's some people down there that think he's 280, 285 right now. So you're talking about a guy that's 6'8", 280, 285 with this athleticism. Of course that would be a fantastic right tackle in the NFL. But nobody wants to see that shit for fantasy. But anyway, so I just had to throw that in there because that is something that we need to keep cognizant, because he is a pretty good – I think he's a pretty decent tight end. But Luke Musgrave, I think, is the clear number two here. He played great all week. Peyton Durham was good, but Luke Musgrave was just the clear number one all week. He's the nephew to Bill Musgrave, the former Raiders coach. Musgrave's awesome. Off the field and on the field, conversations with him were awesome. Fluid in the hips in space, ability to find space in the defense where he's needed. Good hands. He's a good hands catcher. Just in contested areas, he just gets the job done all over. He does really kind of lack the yak ability too. He's a bigger, bigger frame guy, 6'5", 6'6", 255 pounds, prototypical size. I actually comped him to Kyle Rudolph. So now that we're talking about it, it seems like I now have a couple Kyle Rudolphs in this class. But Luke Musgraves, I think, is a guy that's going to get drafted as well in round one.
Two tight ends that we've been talking about in the district. Just your quick thoughts on Dalton Kincaid and your quick thoughts on Tucker Kraft.
Dalton Kincaid, I think, is a guy that's going to continue to fall through the process. As far as on tape and everything, he looked fantastic, but there's some very big worries right now with his injury that caused him to not participate in the Senior Bowl. So we'll see what the medicals look like at the combine, but it looks like he's going to be the guy that ends up falling through this process. I hope he doesn't. Hope he doesn't, because I liked what I saw on film. I thought he was a great super athlete, super athletic body type with a great footwork, yak and grind lord. That's what I called him. He grinds, yak. It's just all there for Dalton Kincaid. But if this injury isn't right, I mean, we've seen it in years past with guys that just never end up coming back from injuries and whatever. And then Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft is a massive big body bruiser from South Dakota State. Yak ability. But he fall. I mean, it's weird watching some of these guys where they got good yak, but then they like sometimes it's not there at all. And he's one of those guys where it's kind of hard to explain it, because it's you can watch him do things and it's like, damn, he's super athletic and he can make all these moves after the catch. And then all of a sudden he'll get like clipped and he just falls ever so slowly. But I think he's good hands, great awareness downfield, comes back for the ball very well, obviously was so super dynamic in that South Dakota offense. I think Tucker Kraft is a guy that Adam Troutman's the easy comp, right? Obviously from the small school, but I think he's going to be a little bit better than what Adam Troutman ended up being.
Well, we've reached an hour, and Cody has Super Bowl obligations in a couple hours here, so we want to get him out of here. Give us your top 12 rookie. If the rookie draft is going on tomorrow, who is your top 12? And we're going to go non-superstars.
All right. One, obviously, Bijan Robinson. Two, Jackson Smith and Jigba, PPR. I think that stays right there. Jahmyr Gibbs, number three from Alabama. I think as far as the pass catching goes, like I said, I don't think he's on Kamara's level where some people mock him there, compare him there. I think more of a James Cook with better draft capital. Jordan Addison at four, Josh Downs at five from North Carolina. I think he's just a dynamite guy. Five, you know, you're probably not going to want to – I think he deserves to be in that conversation. I think he will be in that conversation by the end, because I think he's going to get first-round draft capital or late thereof, or be the first receiver that goes off the board in round two of the NFL draft. Then Kendre Miller, six, Roschon and Zach Charbonneau, seven, eight in either order. Jaden Reed, 9 from Michigan State. Zay Flowers, 10 from Boston College. And then Zach Evans comes at 11. I think 12 is where the conversation is tough, because I think you can start talking about Michael Mayer because of how strong he is at the tight end position compared to everybody else. Kayshon Boutte, I put him right there in that same conversation because we don't know what's going to happen. Tank Bigsby, the consistency. Eric Gray, from Oklahoma, just his innate ability to do everything. And then Devon Achane is a guy that a lot of people are mocking in these rookie mocks into round one. I know Ray G, our friend, is high on Devon Achane because he's going to end up running these 4.3s as well. But all those guys, I think, are in conversation for round one as well.
Where did you have Quentin Johnson, Cody?
I missed him. Good call.
Yeah, so you got Downs 5. Would Johnson be – Johnson, you would have at 4 overall ahead of Addison?
I'd probably put him at 5.
At 5. Okay, so
– good call. Good catch.
Okay, so Cody's top 5, Bijan Robinson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jordan Addison, and then Quentin Johnson. So that's your top 5. This was awesome. I guess we got to get your Super Bowl prediction. Or you want to wait before the interviews, that's fine too. You know, we can just tweet it. I don't want to – get you any hot water down there.
Let's go Kansas City Chiefs 31, Philadelphia Eagles 17.
Wow. Love it. This was awesome today. Dan, I think we covered about we probably covered 60 names today. This was awesome, man.
Yeah, pretty easily. Yeah. Really appreciate it, Cody. I mean, taking some time out of your day. We know you're not feeling the greatest, and you know, on your leg two of your cross country trip here. So we really appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys having me on, as always. You know that.
Yeah, no, this was awesome. Yep. Have a tremendous time at the Super Bowl. We really appreciate your thoughts on the Senior Bowl. Everybody follow Cody. Let everybody know where they can find you this week.
You can find me at Carpentier NFL on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere. I'm trying to post as much as possible. I put up my all Senior Bowl team on playerprofiler.com, 5 winners from the Senior Bowl on playerprofiler.com, and then all of my mock drafts for the next couple months will be on playerprofiler.com.
Awesome, man. Well, everybody enjoy your day. Enjoy Super Bowl week, and thanks for tuning in.